Hello and welcome to The Scoop, a provincial newscast and podcast with stories from LJI journalists around British Columbia. Each week, reporters from Revelstoke, Cortez Island, Kootenay, Terrace, Prince George, and Smithers will share the news affecting their place in BC. I'm your host and producer, Pamela Hassan, from CSCK News in Smithers. The Scoop was made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative Program, or LJI. Follow The Scoop on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 FM, every Thursday and Saturday at noon, online at smithersradio.com, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on The Scoop, the Strathcona Regional District and friends of Cortez Island are teaming up to tackle a recent flooding issue at the Quaz Pond. Lonnie Taylor at CKTZ on Cortez Island will bring you more on that story in a minute. Scott Onyachuk at CJLY in Kootenay will dive into what it takes to become a Nature Canada bird-friendly city after Nelson residents voted for the black-capped chickadee to become Nelson's city bird. Sabrina Spencer at CFNR in Terrace speaks with Grammy Award-winning musician Alex Cuba about his upcoming honorary Doctorate of Laws degree from the University of Northern British Columbia. And here at CICK News in Smithers, we hear from Haida Nation President Jason Alsap as he attends the first reading of the newly established Rising Tide Haida Title Lands Agreement, which affirms Haida Aboriginal title to Haida Gwaii territories. Stay with us.
This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. If you have visited Quaz Pond recently, you will have noticed a bit of flooding occurring between the road and the main parking entrance. The cause of this flooding has in part to do with beaver activity. But Friends of Cortez Island wants residents to learn about the value of beavers and how something called a beaver deceiver can actually solve part of this flooding issue. Friends of Cortez Island is hosting an event called Benefits of the Beaver on May 1st. And I caught up with Helen Hall, Executive Director of Friends of Cortez Island, to find out why beavers are so important to have their own day on Cortez.
Yes, this is an event that's been organised with Strathcona Regional District and Miranda Cross, who is a wetland expert who lives on the island. A lot of people know Miranda. And yeah, it's a workshop to celebrate the beaver in a way, that just to appreciate why beavers are important. And they, as we all know, beavers dam streams and they create wetlands, and wetlands are super important for wildlife. A lot of wetland wildlife, things like everything from frogs through to herons, will benefit from wetlands. But wetlands are also important because they help ameliorate flooding and help us adapt to climate change. So they slow water flowing, which helps prevent flooding. And interestingly, coming from a UK background, in the UK, 10 years ago, they started reintroducing beavers into the UK for that very reason, that they recognised they were important. And they started with a project in Scotland in 2009, and they did a pilot project, lasted 5 years. And from that, they learned that beavers were providing all these benefits. And so now there's beavers all over the UK, a lot of reintroduction programmes. So I think that's worth knowing, that we think they're common here and we take them for granted, but they're regarded as a really important species in the ecosystem. The workshop is to tell people about beavers, but also tell people how they can coexist alongside beavers. So there's going to be a little field trip out to Quaz Pond, where there's beavers have been causing some flooding issues there, and we'll be looking at how that can be resolved in a beaver-friendly way, including introducing something called a beaver deceiver. So yeah, come and learn all about it. We hope people will come along and learn about beavers and how we can live alongside them.
For the benefits of beaver, is that cost money?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think that one actually is a genuinely free event.
How is it being
funded? It's being funded through the Strathcona grant that Strathcona Regional District run, which is about climate change adaptation. So I think because it's run through that grant, it's a free event. We're really keen that people learn, see beavers in perhaps a slightly different light and just see how beneficial they are.
And is that all ages then?
Yeah, that's all ages, yeah. And if there are any landowners out there with beavers on their land and they're a bit worried about them, we'd encourage those people to come along particularly. Yes.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
At Nelson City Council Committee of the Whole meeting on Tuesday night, Elizabeth Cunningham presented community feedback on which bird has been voted to be the city bird of Nelson. Choosing a city bird is one of many steps to becoming a Nature Canada bird-friendly city. Here's Cunningham speaking on which bird received the most votes.
Through the nomination process, 25 species were chosen by 81 Nelson participants. In third place, the northern flicker. The osprey and Steller's jay tied for second place. The black-capped chickadee was the most popular choice.
This is a project Cunningham has been working on for over a year. She first presented the idea to City Council in May of 2023, receiving their support. At the meeting last night, she also explained what it means to be a Nature Canada bird-friendly city.
A bird-friendly city is a community where key threats to birds are effectively mitigated, nature is restored so native bird populations can thrive, residents are actively engaged in admiring and monitoring local bird populations, organizations are creating events to protect birds, progressive municipal policies are created to protect urban bird populations, and a bird team has been created to oversee and lead these initiatives.
Council has yet to vote on officially adopting the black-capped chickadee as the city bird. They're expected to do so at a later date. If Nelson continues to work on becoming a Nature Canada bird-friendly city, they'll be the fourth city in BC to receive the certification, joining Vancouver, Saanich, and Lions Bay. They will also be the first city in BC's interior to be certified. Cunningham, who is also a published poet, with books available at the Nelson Library and for purchase at the Notably Bookstore, read a poem about the chickadee before council as well.
It is winter, and you're gazing out the window. There are shivers of ice on bare branches. The pale sun peers with uncertainty through the stiff trees where the chickadees peek and chatter.
If you're interested in joining the bird team to help Nelson become a bird-friendly city, you can email Cunningham at nelsoncitybird@gmail.com. And for more information on the program, visit naturecanada.ca. Reporting in Nelson, Scott Onishchuk, KCR News.
And Daryl Owen, I'm Sabrina Spencer with The Journey Continues, highlighting local stories that matter to you. Singer, musician, and music producer Alex Cuba from Smithers, BC, will receive an honorary Doctor of Law degree from UNBC during the 2024 convocation ceremony. Cuba spoke with CFNR regarding his honorary degree, his upcoming tour, and other upcoming projects.
My name is Alex Cuba.
I just got a word that you are going to be receiving an honorary Doctor of Laws degree from UNBC.
Yes, that news went out today.
So can you tell me a bit about that and what this doctorate means for you?
It's an incredible recognition. I think it makes me smarter. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it means a lot to be recognized, you know, right here in my neck of the woods.
For my listeners who don't know, can you tell me where it is that you're from?
I live in Smithers, BC.
Okay.
Smithers, BC has been my home for almost 21 years. And it's from here that I have done my musical career, traveling the world.
Yes, because you are known internationally as well, singing both Spanish and English.
Mm-hmm.
African influences, mix of funk, jazz, pop, and you also received a couple of Juno Awards.
Yes, it's been quite a career. I have received 4 Latin Grammys, 1 American Grammys 2 years ago in 2022. I won Best Latin Pop Album at the Grammy Awards, and the town of Smithers went crazy about it. That is a big painting, like a mural of me on downtown Smithers. That is the town threw a party. You know, the list goes on. And that's why I'm saying that I'm so grateful to be recognized by my peers, by the people in the neck of, you know, in my neck of the woods, which is, you know, northern British Columbia. And it means a lot. To me, this is a big declaration of love, you know, the way I see it. Canada is showing me a lot of love. And I don't know if you heard that almost 2 years ago, I received an honorary degree from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. So This is my second honorary degree, and I can't believe this is happening. You know, very grateful and honored.
And you were actually in Terrace back in January, as well as you went to Kitimat as well. So you've been touring around quite a bit.
Yeah, it was. And I'm about to leave on the longest tour of the year. I'm going to be away for a month in the United States. Yeah, always moving. You know, that's the job, the work we do. Once you have the music ready, released, and all of that, you have to go meet folks and play for them, serenade them, let them know you're sick.
You know. Oh, that is so great. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us at all today?
I'd like to say to everyone, you know, or anyone that is listening, you know, from Northern British Columbia, whether you are in Prince George, in Burns Lake, Houston, Smithers, Terrace, Kitwanga, Prince Rupert, whether you are in any of those beautiful places that I know so well, this is a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. And it is important to me to continue to elevate the importance of culture and art. Because, yeah, we are small, but we are mighty. We have soul, we have community, and arts plays a beautiful role into strengthening, you know, the community, making it stronger. And I am very proud to be living in Northern British Columbia.
Anything new and upcoming that we might need to know about?
I have an amazing, I think it's amazing. I have something that I'm very passionate about, a project coming out on May 31st, an album that I recorded in a very interesting way, and I call Voices of My Family is coming out. It's an album, it's a project where I find myself singing with family members from Cuba, and it started in the middle of the pandemic, and now it's just a dream come true to know that it's coming out on May 31st, Voices of My Family.
This story is brought to you in partnership with the Local Journalism Initiative of Canada. You can see the full story at frequencynews.ca.
You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the Haida Nation and the province of British Columbia have signed a landmark agreement, the first of its kind, that affirms once and for all that the Haida people have inherited Aboriginal title to Haida Gwaii. The agreement, in English called Rising Tide Haida Title Lands Agreement, was voted on by the Haida membership with more than 500 votes cast and 95% of the Haida members being in favor of the agreement. Contained in the agreement are provisions and recognition of the Haida Nation's decision-making powers on their territory, as well as land management decisions under provincial jurisdiction will now be made in line with Haida Aboriginal title. Yesterday, the Council of the Haida Nation, Premier David Eby, his ministers, and Jason Alsab, President of the Haida Nation, celebrated the signing of the agreement in Victoria. Here is part of that press conference about how this agreement came to be and what comes next.
Koljut Ganga, Kilslai Ganga, Haida Loss. It's a good day to be Haida today. It's a good day to be British Columbian. It's a day I think everybody can be proud of, to be here to witness the bill being introduced that, you know, recognizes Haida title to all the land of Haida Gwaii. As president, it's just an honor and a privilege to be alive at this time, be fortunate to pick up the journey and the work of the Haida Nation, of successive generations of leadership and good Haida citizens, good people who seen the future. They seen what needed to be done. You know, they laid out a path for us to follow, to be disciplined in our approach, and here we are today. You know, we as time marches on and we see, you know, this world we're in today where, you know, technology is rapidly evolving and we're getting into artificial intelligence and all aspects of our life and all these, you know, quote-unquote advancements, you know, we lose track that there's people in this room who remember the Indian agent, that you needed permission to leave the reserve, that there's people who are alive today that it was illegal to harvest their food to sustain themselves. And it's amazing, you know, how far we've come as people in a short amount of time, considering this situation that we all have to deal with of, you know, addressing this colonial history and trying to find a way forward in a good way where we treat each other good and have the land and looking after the territory at the center of that and recognizing and showing a way that title to an entire territory can be recognized and people could find a way to coexist and live together in a good way. And we, you know, we shouldn't take that for granted. You know, we don't take peace for granted. We see people around the world who want peace. People in Palestine, people in Ukraine, people all around the globe who don't have peace to just be who they are, to be the people from that place, to just enjoy their land, to feel the history and the resonance of that place and just be who they are and just exist as the people that they are. And you know, we're excited about that future to continue to instill our culture and history into our laws and how we move forward together and you know, reconcile with this, with difficult history. So I just, you know, I just wanted to reflect on that and acknowledge not only the work of the Haida Nation, but the work of, you know, many Indigenous leaders and nations who have continued to push things forward, to go to the courts, to assert their title directly, to negotiate, to, you know, use all of the tools available to us to continue to advance our position and move forward to ensure we can, we take our rightful place in our lands without conflict. And I think that is also important to recognize, you know, when we, this legislation is about, you know, recognizing and affirming Haida Aboriginal title to all of Haida Gwaii, to the land. And as the Premier acknowledged in his speech, that pre-existed the Crown. That is our inheritance, our responsibility from our ancestors. It was here before the Crown, it's here now, it will continue into the future. But what this does is allow us to work together to free up the landscape and create the space to have that full expression of the Haida culture and our values and how we govern and manage the land going forward and in all aspects of our society in a thoughtful way that considers everything in an orderly way where we can really look at the whole picture, the interconnectedness of everything, and at the pace that makes sense for the Haida Nation. So I also just want to, again, acknowledge all those who came before me, our ancestors who are with us, and the leadership of Premier Eby, Minister Rankin, this government, and all of our teams for for getting us to this place. Our legal teams, our negotiating team, it's truly a team effort of the Haida Nation and BC to get here, and a willingness to get here and a commitment to seeing it through, to get to today, to actually see it introduced in law, in provincial law. So I just again want to say hawa to all the good Haida people who made the journey here to be part of this day, to witness and be part of the ceremony. All those who came before us, all the other British Columbians and Canadians and allies and our friends and neighbors on Haida Gwaii, and everybody who's been part of today and part of helping us all get to this place today. Hawa.
And that's this week's episode of The Scoop, a podcast and broadcast featuring stories from remote BC by the journalists in the communities of Smithers, Cortez Island, Revelstoke, Kootenai, Prince George, and Terrace. This program was made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative Program. Tune in next week for another episode and follow us online wherever you get your podcasts.